Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Oh, no, because I don't
Survivor Specialist. Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our episode 2 recap of Survivor 42. And we just realized that we made an oopsie. So that's why we were in the middle of having a conversation while all that was going on. But anyway, welcome back. Episode 2. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say this off the top. Kudos to the editors here. I know there's going to be people who are going to complain that, you know, Jonathan and Mike had a lot of confessionals in this episode. Only two people did not have confessionals in this episode, and I think that's a pretty big deal when it comes to Survivor. I'm not going to lie. Episode 2, generally when a lot of people get overlooked. Tonight, only two people didn't get them, and that was Roxroy and Lydia. And I feel like Lydia still had a pretty good episode considering I don't think she was ever really in contention to win, but I think she had a pretty good episode in terms of leading her tribe to victory, a comeback victory of all things. So I like that. Anyway, what's going on, everybody? How we feeling? Alexa, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I can talk for a little bit because the thing that we were talking about beforehand, I was not able to do because of the computer I'm on. So if you want to,
I might have done it. So keep going though.
Okay, I'm going to keep doing that. Well, when you said kudos to the editors, I kind of was a little shocked. I thought you were going to say about the being potentially surprised that Mariah went home. I thought that was a bit too easy to pinpoint. I'm with somebody who does not watch Survivor, and she called it really early. So it's been like a little frustrating to watch that. But to your point, I really, really appreciate that there has been. I mean, Jonathan and Mike got a lot of content because a lot of content was focused around them, and they were the tribe that went home. So I think that totally makes sense. And Roxroy and Lydia were like around. Like Roxroy got a ton of attention last week. Lydia, like, she can carry a scene even if she isn't getting a confessional. So that is something that I'm really appreciating and really noticing. Chanel had a lot more content. Drea, you still see like the blue tribes dynamics, even though they obviously didn't go to tribal council. Mm-hmm. The green tribe, we got some funny moments and some. The first time we've ever seen this happen where somebody lost an idol.
And it seems like that's going to keep coming.
It's going to happen again. A lot of good stuff this episode. I feel like they fit a lot of content in, and I don't feel like anyone was skipped out on, which was fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. And sometimes it can feel like, a lot of people are getting missed. I feel like Roxroy at this point, and I kind of called this right from the start, he's just going to be invisible on this season. Like, there's just literally nothing that we can do about it. That's just what his role is going to be on this cast. Like, I don't really understand his casting on this season. And, you know, I'm not trying to be harsh. I just, like, I'm so not surprised that he got nothing tonight. I'm just not.
Yeah, I don't think he's that. I don't know. I think it's good to have people like that on the show. I don't think he's boring. I think he's like, even the way he talks, like, he is passionate. He is into it. He's just like, seems more old school. And I think I like that. I think it like grounds things a little bit.
Yeah. I think the difficulty is going to be, how is he going to find his, his screen time on that tribe? Cause I do also feel like that tribe is pretty vocal.
Volatile.
That's a pretty wild tribe. Romeo only had one confessional tonight, but it was the lead confessional. Tori definitely in the midst of everything. Drea only had one confessional tonight, but felt like she was a bigger part of the episode. And you have
Swathi running the show.
Yeah, she seems like she's running the show a little bit. So, like, where is Roxroy going to be able to get this anyway? But just for it to just be Roxroy and Lydia in the second episode of a season, like, that really does blow my mind, and I'm really happy about that. And I am not going to lie, I'm not, like, I felt like we got a good amount of time with everybody on this episode, despite the fact that the tribe that they really could have spent a lot more time with, they did spend a lot of time with them, but I was still surprised when they lost. I did not think that Taku was actually going to lose here. I was the whole time just thinking it's going to be Ika, it's going to be Ika, it's going to be Ika. And so when this happened, I was like, oh, okay. They spent pretty even amounts of time with everybody before this, set up some things for every tribe. And now it's going to be this tribe that goes, I'm fine with that. And I thought it was, I thought it was pretty well done. Yes, Mariah was easy, but I always say Survivor doesn't have to have like a blind side or anything really even like surprising at the end of every episode. This was where Mariah was going to go no matter what. It had to happen. I'm fine that they didn't try to like give us like some really big red herring. It was Mariah or Marianne. I'm just happy that that's who it was between so we could watch Omar write Mary on the paper and still not know who it was going to be. I've been talking about that all preseason.
Yeah, you know, as soon as they cast the two of them on the same tribe, they were like, just think of the camera work we'll get to do. Yeah, I think like it was obvious it was going to be the two of them. It didn't feel necessary, especially with like the bromance that had been built up between Omar and Jonathan. I mean, we'll find out tomorrow why it was Mariah. To me, it was like so obvious. They were talking about all of Marion's negatives and like all of Mariah's positives. So I would have liked one sentence as to why they got rid of her. But it, I mean, it made sense. It just didn't seem like she fit in. And it doesn't necessarily seem like Marion does either. But for whatever reason, I think they're just more forgiving to her for that. But yeah, I think, I mean, I was a little shocked that they lost. I think this is one where even though Jonathan was literally the leader, it's harder for Jonathan to physically lead them. And I think like a blindfolded puzzle directed by somebody is an extremely equalizing way to finish to finish a challenge. So it seemed like a really close finish.
I agree. And I'm very confused, though. Why did they build it from the inside out? That never makes sense. You don't do a imagine sitting down, Alexa, to do a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle and saying, I'm going to do the border last. What? When would you ever do that? You would never do that. And that was such a big mistake. And I really think that's why they lost. They just did it backwards. Like, build it from the outside in. Like, you're supposed to do everything else. That lost them time because now you're trying to position the pieces, keep them with the right amount of space, get these people to move all five pieces or four pieces, whatever it is, at the same time, if they have to move something to fit another piece in. It just made no sense.
Yeah, I didn't understand it either. My thought was that maybe all of the perimeter pieces looked pretty much the exact same because it's a really similar pattern all the way around. But if you can get that, and that's only, I don't know, 3 to 4 pieces of the whole perimeter, you're halfway done with the puzzle at that point.
And not for nothing, like it's a 4-piece puzzle. Yeah. Jonathan might say he's bad at puzzles. He's not that bad at puzzles.
He did pretty well. I mean, he undersells himself, but especially like that position is so hard to tell other people how to do a puzzle. That's a really hard thing to do. And shout out to Lydia for pulling her team really from last place. They were waffling up and down, but yeah, I think she did a great job leading. I think Jonathan also was really, really smart by deepening his voice. I forget who did that in previous seasons, but you can't hear each other talk. You need to have a totally different tone of voice.
Yeah. I don't know, whatever. And you can hear it by the end of it. All of them are just screaming at the top of their lungs.
Yeah. When Daniel's like, this is a disaster.
And they have nothing going on. I mean, it really is. It's pretty great. I mean, it's fun to watch. All right, let's kind of take this from the top since we always end up working in reverse, but let's
tribe by tribe.
Let's talk about Ika first. So we get Ika and they come back from tribal council and they just voted out Zach. You know, Romeo says the very cringeworthy, we were hashtag skinny bros or something like that. And
I was waiting for the hashtag to pop up and it didn't get it.
Thank God they've moved away from hashtags. Like no one needs that in their life.
Hashtag
skinny bros. Nobody needed that. So he comes out, he says that. And then we have this whole thing of Tori, Drea, Swathi trying to work together. We hear from Drea that she feels closest with Roxroy and with Romeo, which I was surprised by that Roxroy was in there because it seemed like Roxroy was kind of on the outs of things last week.
It seemed like it was just
him and Swathi.
Older people alliance, which is funny because their average age is probably like 35.
35, I know. And so they do all of that. We have really not much from Swathi until they sit down and they talk about this women's alliance thing. And then Swati's like, I kind of don't know if I should trust Drea here. And I'm going to go talk to Tori about that. And Tori seems like she's completely on the outs. Are you buying that Tori is on the outs, or do you think that Tori is going to kind of find her way back in and maybe pull like an Elizabeth Olsen or a Michelle Schubert or something like that, where it's like they're playing it up. She's still not going to go very far, but she's going to at least make like merge territory. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I don't think she's totally on the outs. I thought her opening confessional was kind of funny. She was like, I was really sad to see Zach go. I was like, oh my gosh, the empathy we love. And then she was like, because I want a bed. And I was like, oh, well, I get that, but it's day three. But then she like, it bounced back again and was like, but I'm excited for this adventure. So I didn't know what to make of that. But I think, not to direct away from Tori, but I think like what Swathi did was really impressive for both of them to listen in and be like, okay, totally down with an all-girls alliance. And then Swathi pretty much immediately is like, well, Drea is like running this. That's really obvious. And then goes to Tori. And I think Tori is appropriately desperate. So she's like, great, there's an all-girls thing. And then she gets approached again for a different thing. So I think Tori's just pumped that she has now multiple options. And I think Swathi knows that she's desperate and will listen to her. And I think she did really good, like, leadership negotiating, where she was like, I don't want you to agree with me getting rid of Drea just because I said that I want you to have an opinion too. And so I think she navigated that really well. I think Tori's on the outs, but I don't think she is like an obvious. I don't think it's obvious that she would go home if they went to tribal council.
Yeah, I think they're lying to us over there. And here's my other thing. I worry that she is so desperate that she could be desperate to the majority alliance and say, Swathi wants to get rid of you, Drea.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's a little nerve-wracking for Swathi, because it's like, why are you working with – I get why you're working with Tori, but it doesn't seem like you're actually on the bottom. So don't try to play like you're on the bottom. Tori's on the bottom. Let her stay on the bottom.
And let Drea run her course.
Exactly. Like, you're going to have a chance to get Drea. She's not going to run this game. I don't think we've ever seen a woman play Survivor – who has just like never been able to be voted out of the game. I would say like, really, that's only something that happened with Colby and like Terry Dietz and Tom. Like, those are the only people who this happened with. Kelly Wigglesworth, maybe, but that's like just weird. Nobody was like dying to get rid of her. So like, looking at Drea this way, you're just not playing the odds. You're getting too desperate, it feels like, when you don't need to be in a desperate position. Let the desperate people stay desperate and just try to stay under the radar. Now, I do respect, though, that Swathi is trying to play the game here. She is trying to take control of the game. She is playing to win the game, which I think a big concern with 19, 20, 21-year-olds is that they're not going to come out to play to win the game. They're going to be nervous, a little starstruck, whatever it is, just out of their element. She is playing to win the game, and that I am all about, and it's very clear just from this first episode.
Yeah, I was really wrong about her in the preseason. I think out of everyone who's under the age of, let's say, 24, she actually seems like she's operating like the oldest one, quote unquote, of that. And I mean, kind of to your point, like, doesn't seem young. Sure, she's 20 and she's in, well, quote unquote 20, and she's in college, but she's not like looking for a mom or a dad. She's not looking for a mentor. She's really kind of doing her own thing.
Yeah. We really haven't gotten much. The personal content was there in the first episode with her being like the National Guard and all that. But she's somebody who I don't really feel like there's like a lot of that going on. And Gamer Girl says, what about Kim Spradlin? But Kim Spradlin, there were chances to get rid of her. Jay is just a moron. If Jay wasn't a moron, she goes home, that tribal council. She's just an idiot. He's just an idiot. So, yeah, like, there were chances. That's what I'm saying. They're like, if you're not on the bottom of a five-person alliance, don't work your way to the bottom of a five-person alliance. That's just what I'm saying with this. I want to throw this in there. So all I have, and now I'm expecting comments to blow up, but Alexa and I talked about this beforehand. All we had for anybody on this tribe as far as props was concerned was Tori having her mouth blurred. If we missed anything else, let us know. We will review it. But right now, I just had her getting her mouth blurred. That was the only prop for the night. Although Ika, all five of them now have had two rewards. So if they get one more reward, we did five rewards. So they're getting closer, though. Like, so those five are definitely getting closer. and the other, there was the sit out. Who sat out? Oh, nobody, because Daniel's
only Daniel sat out. Yeah.
So let's go to Vati. Let's go over to that tribe, the green tribe. I was actually for a period of time wondering, is this team going to end up being the one that goes home?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we spent a lot of time with Mike. A lot of time with Mike.
Well, it took Mike 9 hours to re-find his idol. So, you know, it's a lot of content.
I mean, I was stressed for him. But yeah, there was a lot going on this tribe for an episode where none of them went home. And they still have six people.
Okay. Andy Vogel is live contacting me. The entire Ika tribe, except for someone.
Oh, the blindfold.
Was blindfolded.
I forgot about
Phil the blindfold. Phil doesn't want to talk about the blindfolded.
Wait, so here, I'll list the blindfold real quick. Lindsay, Marianne, Mariah, Omar, Swati, Tori, Hi, Roxroy, Romeo, Mike, Jenny, Chanel. We have all that.
Conveniently missed Lydia.
I have this sheet, and I marked them all, but I wasn't going to go through and mark 12 people for the blindfold. I just wrote down their names instead so that it's not like this tiny thing. But yes, he is correct. So
I need to remember who I had blindfolded.
Yeah, I had Lydia. Whoops. Oopsie daisy.
Sucks.
So Lydia, though, only person on this tribe not to get a confessional tonight, which kind of surprised me, just because it seemed like she was going a different route in the first episode. But she's probably the MVP of this tribe if you really look at what she actually did for her tribe tonight. She led them to a victory. That's a big deal. So now my question is, what the hell is going on over here, and what are the actual pairings? Because it seems like Chanel and Daniel, Mike's trying to find his footing, kind of like how Xander was desperate last year. So now what has to happen?
Well, I think originally it was Mike and Jenny who are the power duo. I think it is now Chanel and Daniel. I assume this will change week by week. Mm-hmm. But I actually think that Mike has the right idea by saying, I need allies. But I think trying to win Daniel over by telling him that he doesn't have a vote is not good. And that was really, really smart by Daniel to immediately realize, let's just get Mike to never say it so that none of the other people get it. That is really, really impressive foresight that we never saw. We saw that for a glimpse with Shan and Jeannie, but I think it's a really interesting strategy.
I like it. I think they very subtly changed this rule on us without letting us know.
What's
I think in the first season, you had to say it no matter what.
Ah.
Because Brad said it twice. And Shan knew she was going to have to say it, but then was like, well, what if we just don't pick it up because we know what it is and we know that it's what Brad did. So should we not take it?
So the difference was they never physically read it.
No. So what I think happened here is I don't think Survivor is forcing them to read it if they don't want to. I think last time when you read that piece of paper, it said at the next challenge, you must say this. And Xander said it every week. This one, it seems like you don't have to say it. They're giving you the option. And that's why we didn't see this discussed as a strategy last season, because they didn't actually have the ability to say, oh, we don't want to say it. We're going to wash our hands of it and move on.
What do you think about that?
I like it. I think it's better.
I think I like it too. I think it makes it more strategic.
Yeah. And it makes it a lot more strategic. And now we get to see Daniel say, hey, don't say it this time, because what are the odds the other two even have it? And you're not in danger. And now you're not going to put a pointless target on your back for no reason. And it allows it so that now this twist actually can move on throughout the game of Survivor, because now people aren't being forced to say the same thing 2, 3, 4 times and people would be looking for it. Now you can pick your moment and say, I'm going to say it 2 tribal councils later and hope that somebody else over there found it, or they said one of the things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good, I think I do like it, because I really like this twist. I think it's funny. I also think Mike's, I don't know what the other, well, I know what one of the other phrases is. I think it's, I won't say who finds it because it was in the promo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe it's Tori. Yeah. And it's like, potatoes have skins. I have skins. Therefore, I'm a potato. Mike's is the goat on AstroTurf. Mike has, I assume, the easiest one.
Mm-hmm.
Challenges. There could be a challenge that is like in any way sports related. So I think Mike got the easiest one, but it's really cool to see like the evilness with which Daniel treated it. But going back to my original point, Daniel immediately went to Chanel. And now Chanel is like, great, we have a pipeline to Mike. He clearly doesn't trust me. And it was also just a good, I know Mike clearly trusts Daniel. It's always a great scene where Mike's like, I was never going to tell anyone. And now the entire tribe knows.
Well, and like he said, though, his strategy changed when he lost his vote. He didn't have a choice but to start telling people. And I think that's the problem Xander ran into last season, too. Everybody has a plan, and now this is forcing you to rethink that plan, which I think is actually pretty cool. I think, though, the person this hurts the most of everybody is Jenny, because everybody knows Mike and Jenny have paired off. We saw Chanel say that. She's close with Daniel. Daniel and Chanel both know Mike doesn't have a vote. If they really want to, they can turn around, then grab high and say, let's vote out Jenny because this is the time to do it. Mike doesn't have a vote. We can't even cause a tie. Mm-hmm. I think this hurts Jenny the most, not so much Mike, because they're saying, how can we use this idol to our advantage? Okay, we still have time to do that. But we can get rid of Mike's closest ally in the meantime and not let them become the power couple and we stay the power couple.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, and I hadn't considered that because it's so easy to be like, well, let's just get rid of the person who doesn't have a vote. But I do think they like each other. I think this is a tribe that works really well. I think we'll get into the like high being a vegan thing, but that's something where I was totally waiting for a confessional for someone to like trash him, and that never came. So I think this is a tribe that clearly likes and respects each other. I'm curious to see where this goes. I'm pretty excited. If I could fix this twist, I'm even okay with the phrases being ridiculous. I don't like losing a vote for an indefinite amount of time. That is crippling.
Well, it goes until the merge, right? Isn't that what they said last year?
That feels indefinite at this stage in the game.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But yeah.
I mean, I think it adds an interesting dynamic, but like we always say most of the time, it's instead of adding advantages that then take away other advantages, just don't have the advantage. Mm-hmm. That's easier, but they're never going to get rid of idols. And I do prefer, at least in this day and age, this type of idol because it's a little bit more exciting than just like watching them look for 10 idols. Cause right now we are two episodes into season 42 and we don't have an active idol. I like that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And there's kind of that's true. It does make things more exciting because when Marianne was like, what do people do when they're desperate? They look for idols. And I'm like, well, on season 44, they're not going to want to do that as much. And that's kind of cool because they know that maybe they'll find something that will force them to lose a vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's funny because she's actually hurting herself by looking for an idol in that moment. Cause if she finds it, she's only hurting herself. Yeah. Okay. So then Chanel and Daniel, we have that. We have Mike and we have Jenny. Lydia doesn't do anything at camp. It was all at the challenge. And then we have High. The thing about being a vegan and not wanting to eat any of the meat and like now I'll forgive myself and like having to. This is one of those things like I understand like the vegetarian thing going out on Survivor. Being vegan, it's an impossible task when you're surviving on an island. And I think like it's just one of those things where it's like I find it so fascinating to watch this because of like it sounds wrong because I'm not I think it's great. Like High's going out there, he's a vegan and all that. I just think it's fascinating to like watch this and understand like in America, we have the choice to be vegan. In so many other situations, you don't have that choice. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that that's just really fascinating because when you watch this episode, it's like, wow, here's a guy who's going against like his moral stance, but he doesn't have a choice because he's going to die if he doesn't. Not that he would, but you know, like he's literally withering away. And he even says, I think that's the first thing I've eaten in 4 days. That's not good.
Yeah.
So I just think it's like it. I thought it was an interesting way to watch that, and I did like how the rest of the tribe kind of picked him up. Everybody was comforting him. I did have him crying. I saw tears. I don't know if everybody else did, but it was kind of like the Marianne thing where you heard and saw it. So yeah.
Yeah, Phil and I are divided on if he physically cried or not. So put in the comments what you think. But yeah, I thought it was really cool because it was so easy. I watched that and I was like, oh my god, like what are you doing, dude? But hearing him. You know, he was like, this isn't easy. Like, I can't just change that. And also, not that he's eating that much, but if you haven't eaten any form of animal byproduct and then you start eating, that's going to mess up your stomach big time. So it sounds like that didn't happen. But I think like he obviously made the right choice. But I think I hope he took some comfort in knowing that as soon as he heard there was no rice, like there is no option. Because I know Angelina was a vegetarian. Apparently Shan was either a vegan or a vegetarian. You can survive if there's rice. You can totally survive without meat out there on just rice and coconuts. But without any rice, you're probably getting 20 calories a day.
Didn't Shan, and I might be mistaken, but didn't Shan say that she's a vegan, but on the show she was a vegetarian or something like that? Like she just went I think it was something like that. I could be wrong.
This is a dumb question. Actually, this is not a dumb question. On Survivor, if you are on the island, what is the major difference between being a vegetarian and a vegan? Because what you're eating, there's not really times where they're eating a vegetable, but
I think it comes down to the seafood.
Yeah. Well, I guess like pescatarian. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think it comes down to. But I have no idea because I'm not vegan and I'm not vegetarian. I had chicken for dinner. So here I am.
Well, I love when Mike's like, I can't wait to eat a burger. And then he's like, oh, but I'm so sorry. Like, I forgot about that. That was cute.
Mike's getting no flack for any of this. Have we noticed this? Like Mike is getting, even though like Daniel was laughing at him.
He's like the dad.
He's actually, and I know you and Vaughn and everybody was making fun of me for it, but I really like this type of character, but he is playing this really well where it's like, I think people do like him and I think they find him goofy, but they're not finding him to be like obnoxious. And I feel like he's done a lot of things that could easily be construed as obnoxious. And the fact that that's not happening, that's a good sign for him. And I actually think him losing this idol and like showing that he's not the brightest bulb might work in his favor in these early stages. And that's why I think it hurts Jenny more than him that all of this stuff is happening with the extra vote and no vote and all of that, because he's the one who is proving like, I'm not that smart. So vote out somebody who is smart and could win the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, I'm loving him. He doesn't exactly remind me of my dad, but his like sense of humor reminds me of my dad, where it's like, oh, it's silly, it's funny. So I think that's exactly what he should be doing, whether it be intentional or unintentional. I don't know. I think like at some point I think the game could catch up to him. In the preview, it'll be interesting to see what happens, because I know you can't steal someone's idol, but he can't find it again. So that'll be quite interesting. I love that they showed that so candidly, because I feel like not so similar to like the Jackson thing last week, but with this, it's like they could have cut that out. They totally could have cut that out. But watching him like realize that he did not know where his idol was just very kind of like behind the curtain.
I agree. And like him walking up to every chair, they all have whys. They're all in a split path. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that Daniel's like every single path is a why. That's how this works.
Yeah. So, all right. Obviously, aside from the blindfolds, what we had over there was high, cried a physical tear, had the episode title. It was good or guilty, good and guilty, whatever that is. And Daniel had his mouth blurred. That's all I had. I didn't have anything else from that tribe. So let's go over to the.
They all got blindfolded.
Go ahead.
And they all got blindfolded.
All the blindfolded.
Noticeably, Lydia was not blindfolded.
Lydia killed it in the challenge, though, which I'm happy about. Yes. So let me go over to the tribe that actually lost. And I'm still surprised this tribe lost. I understand that if this tribe was going to lose a challenge, this is the challenge they're going to lose. Because it's not a physical challenge. But I am surprised that they lost this, because they seem like they're really together. And I know Marianne seemed like she was driving people nuts a little bit, but I think that's being played up just to try to cause some drama around Mariah going home. I feel like this tribe really gets along. And I feel like they get along better than Ika. And I feel like they get along even better than Vati. It feels like they're really breaking into factions. This tribe doesn't seem like they are. Jonathan had confessionals about how he's trying to make sure he gets to know everybody out there. Lindsay, Marianne, they're all talking about how well they want to know each other. And this was the tribe that loses anyway. I have to say, though, the social dynamics on this tribe, I am loving.
I love
Jonathan and Omar. I love Omar's whole thing. And then Marianne comes and makes him like the mat. I think Lindsay is great.
Lindsay's a bad Jew. That was unreal. She's like, I'm a terrible Jew.
I'm a terrible Jew. And it's like, so you all probably know more than me. That was amazing. So I'm just like sitting there watching this and I'm like, man, we totally misread how Jonathan and Lindsay were going to play this game from the pregame press, as we often do, because how are we
supposed
to know?
Jonathan has so surprised me in the best way. He's great. So into him. He's so good.
And I think now this is kind of like the group of four from the Yellow Tribe last season of Evie and Liana and Tiffany and Xander, where they should be able to get hot now. I don't think Mariah was dragging them down. I don't think Mariah was like really causing any issues. I just think Mariah was on the wrong tribe at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. And I think that they were going to lose this challenge, whether they had Jackson or not. And then Mariah was going to go home. She really had no chance of staying in this game. And I think that they should be able to do really well from here on out. I'm not worried for this tribe. And I don't know if it's just because like Lindsay and Jonathan are huge and like really strong, but I'm not worried for this tribe. And I think things are going to get a little bit more physical. And now when these other tribes are sitting people out, when Ika sits out somebody, so they sit out Romeo, they're still running a tribe of Tori, Drea, Roxroy, and I can't even remember the other, and Swathi. That's not a bad tribe, but that's still not as strong as the other four.
Yeah.
And so that's 100%. Where I think like Taku's actually in a still an okay position, and they feel like this four is actually pretty united. Marianne still seems like she's a little on the outs, but I don't think Lindsay's going to be willing to let Marianne go so simply because she doesn't want to turn it into like Omar and Jonathan are just going to vote her out after that. Mm-hmm. I think this tribe's going to win some challenges.
Yeah, I think they'll be good for a while, especially just the way that the three tribes are going to be where you just have to get second place.
Yeah.
And they didn't even get their butts kicked on this one. Yeah. I think we're definitely not going to see any swaps. I appreciated that we did not get Shipwheel Island. Not that I hate it. I don't really dislike it, but there, you know, this felt like a very full episode, and I'm really glad that a lot of it was just time at camp.
I agree. And a lot of it was time at
like
camp. And a lot of it was like real human moments. I feel like we got to know a lot of these people pretty well. Omar with his thing, Lindsay's little line of just I'm a terrible Jew is great. Jonathan talking about the Christianity and how him and Omar are going to do their thing. And then I loved when he's leading them through. He goes, Omar, take my hand. Somebody needs to gift that really
so
badly.
So beautiful. I could cry.
So beautiful. I could cry. But I just think like we got like a lot of really interesting moments from a lot of characters in this episode. And while there's some people who are always going to be left out, I really think that this is a step in the right direction. This was a gigantic, gigantic step away from episode 2 of Survivor 41. It was a gigantic step away. I do believe, and I'm really hopeful, that the editors and the people in production over on Survivor Season 41 realized what wasn't working, and it was a lot. This felt unique to a lot of things. It really did. And so, I don't know. I'm very into it right now, mm-hmm. and that's a good feeling because I was very negative on this season coming in.
Are you as into it as Marianne is into Zach?
No, and what the hell, man? We got
I'm
it.
I'm so into this.
I love it. I mean, I'm a big, big fan, but I just couldn't believe it.
I thought it was great. Jeff was so Jeff during this whole situation. I love how they were joking. They were like, should we vote her out so that she can go date Zach? I thought that was hilarious. I'm sure that Marianne will grade on me at some point, but hearing that and hearing her be like, well, I'm 23. No one's like been into me before. Like that's a real feeling. And that like hits. And so I think that was just really cool. And she was like, oh yeah, Zach, like the scrawny white dude, like that's my type. Like it was funny. It was real. It was like emotional kind of all at the same time. And it wasn't even all of the Billy and Candace memes will be flying on the internet. I'm sure if they aren't already, but that was real. I mean, not that Billy didn't love Candace, but that felt forced. This felt very real.
Yeah, I agree.
And I hope they smooch.
I think there was a lot of fun stuff here for sure tonight on this episode. And Marianne's love for Zach was definitely one of those things. Cause Zach's probably sitting there watching it like, yes, this is great.
Zach getting so much content, even though he's out,
even though he's not there. And
he got a flashback,
but remember too, and this is something that's huge. Survivor seasons of late have done a very terrible job of talking about people who aren't there. Terrible, mm-hmm. terrible. Remember Kellen and Bradley were like 1A and 1B, and then Bradley goes home. Kellen's first confession of the merge. I made the merge. This is great. Like nothing about Bradley's gone. Like they're really bad about this, and I think it was really funny to see them do this, but also it had that old school feel because almost every episode does start with, oh, we got rid of this person, whatever. But in the old seasons, those people would come up again. If we would have kept this person, we'd be so strong, or, oh, I missed this person. We haven't gotten that really in the recent seasons, and I think this was really fun. I really did.
I thought it was great. And especially it's like the younger, like, you know, like the younger half of the cast. I thought it was great. If I'm Zach, I'd be pumped, I guess, all things considered. And I hope they date. I just went on Instagram and someone photoshopped Zach's head onto Boston Rob's head and Marion's head onto Amber's and wrote, I heard it. Zach on the T-shirt. We're in for it.
I love it. So what are your thoughts after this episode? Keeping in mind only two people didn't get confessionals. Did anybody have like a really negative episode to you that you're like, there's no way they're going to win this game?
I don't think anyone had a negative episode, but I do think that our theory about Drea, like kind of jumping to the top too quickly might come true. I do think she's really smart and I think that she will be very aware of any kind of coup that happens, but she speaks very directly to them. And I think because she was really open about one of her advantages, luckily she hasn't talked about the second one. I think that's just going to be like a little cause for alarm for some people, but I think she's aware enough to catch on.
Yeah. I think that it's just a matter of time before she's like, okay. And we're not going, oh, what the hell is she? Like, I think it's just, you know, we're going
to
be fine.
I think if Ika goes to tribal council, I'd be shocked if Swathi went home and no one else. Everyone else would not surprise me.
Yeah. But even at this point, Swathi wouldn't surprise me because she's giving Tori ammunition.
Yeah, that's true.
She's giving Tori ammunition and Tori can turn around and say, you can't trust her either. She doesn't know. She's trying to get rid of you.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal. I don't feel that there's really anybody on the season right now where I'm like, they're toast. They're like, they got no shot at anything. Like, nobody's getting a bad edit. Nobody seems like they're the villain of this season. That's really interesting.
It's really cool. But
I do think who's going to be the villain? I think it's going to be Romeo. I think Romeo is going to somehow survive. And I think Romeo is going to be the villain because we got a little bit of Romeo at the beginning of like, oh, this sucked. But I think Romeo could grow into the villain almost in like a, oh God, what is his name? Like, I can't even remember, but he's going to grow into the villain a little bit. I think it's going to happen.
I hope so. I feel like he'd be a great villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit different too. We're so used to seeing like the small, scrawny guy be more of like the hero. So that could be.
Yeah. I think he's good. I think he's a smart player.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm happy with how this season is shaped up 3 hours into the season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm feeling really good about it. I'm trying to think of what's the next time on Survivor had. I assume some combination of Marion and Omar find their Beware advantage. Mm-hmm. We know that Tori finds hers from a different promo. And Mike loses his thing again.
And Mike is still losing it. And did you notice, though, this is the biggest thing. There was no commercial between the vote out and next time on Survivor.
Yeah, went straight there.
I literally started to fast forward, and I was like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah.
What is happening?
We need a warning. Also, but then Mariah didn't get her last words until after the commercial break.
Yes, but CBS seriously needs to they have to get rid of this whole Beyond the Edge thing as like the lead in to Survivor.
It's brutal.
Every time I'm fast forwarding, I'm like, oh, Survivor's back on. And then it's just a promo for Beyond the Edge. That needs to stop happening.
How is that show happening?
Because of their desperate.
I'd rather have Tough as Nails commercials. This Beyond the Edge stuff is just
I don't get it.
I don't need it.
I don't get it. All right, let's. I'm just going to jump over here real quick. Power rankings, obviously, if you had Mariah at 16, you're in first place. So your name is Victoria Fong. She has the only person with Mariah in 16th. Alexa and I both have Mariah in 12th. So that's for that one. In terms of prop bets, where
Mariah
is it?
Mariah mentioned COVID.
Oh, yeah. So let's do that. Mariah mentioned COVID. And then we had talked about all the people who had the, what do you call it? The blindfold. Mariah also had 5 votes or less. She had a confessional in every episode she was in. Did Lindsay mention COVID? When Mariah was talking about it, did she repeat herself or did Lindsay say it? I'm not sure. Let me know if Lindsay said it because I know Mariah said COVID, so that counts. I don't know if it was Lindsay or if it was just Mariah again. But if it wasn't Lindsay, then this is where we're at. The leader with 19 points is Nintendoshi. 19 points already. I think 18 might have won last season.
Nintendoshi's been around. That's an OG fan.
That's 19 points. And if you guys were wondering about how the person who put this all together is doing, intern has 0. So he's not winning. Intern has a whopping 0. I'm having a problem trying to get the bootlist scoreboard thing to work. So I'm going to have to talk to intern about that and figure out what's going on. I see one person with 1 point. That's as far as I'm concerned, that's the person in first place. I see somebody with 1 point. Their name is just simply Zach. It might be Zach Wurtenberger. And then that would be totally sketchy, but it's just Zach with 1 point.
This is working, I think.
I just can't sort it. I'm trying to sort it. It's a sort A to Z here, but I don't know what that means.
You go up top, see where I'm clicking, name, hit that thing. You're going to sort.
Sort A to Z on score, and I just did that. Okay, there it is. Zach with 1 point, Lames or whatever with two, and then it all just turned to NA. So I don't know why that's happening.
Oh, intern. That's not what I see. No, you're good. I'm good. I got it right here.
Mine just changed all to NAs.
Oh, that sounds like a you problem.
Maybe. Anyway, that's where we're at with that. And then in terms of the fantasy game, I don't think anybody had Mariah. I'm looking at it right now. I just want to make sure, but I don't think anybody had Mariah on their team, so nobody's going to suffer a loss with that.
Vaughn had him. Had Mariah.
Vaughn did have Mariah, and he's finally back into the positives with Tori, who's back up to half a point. And I just can't thank you enough for giving me free double points on Jonathan. Thank you so much. Nicest thing you've ever done for me.
Hate that for me.
I'm personally loving it, so thank you very much. But yeah, the perfect score right now that you could have in the game is 15 for the fantasy game. So if you have 15 points, you are in first place. That's all there is on that. Anyway, Alexa, did we miss anything? Was there anything that we didn't talk about? I feel like we kind of ripped through this, but I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I think a lot of people surprised me from obviously the 15 minutes of their preseason content that I consumed. So it's been really fun. I feel like Omar could win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could win for sure. I'm really at the point right now. I'm not counting out anyone. I would just be absolutely floored if Rockstar won just because I don't see what he's doing. That's the only one.
Yeah. I think Rockstar and Marianne are probably the only two who I'm unsure
I
of,
still think Marianne could
she'd have a great growth arc if she got there.
But I do think that there would be respect from her tribe if she sat at the end, not with any of them. She can't go to the end with anybody from her original tribe, but if she got to the end, I think that they would all respect her. She's already sitting there with three votes. Now you just got to find two more.
Yeah, there you go. That's true.
That's not too bad. Or you might not even have to find two more. You just got to hope the other two people split, which we've seen before. So that could be interesting for sure. But that's it. So we'll be back on. We didn't actually talk about this at all. What day are we going
to
do?
I have quite a scheduling problem for the next few days. So we might have to talk offline.
Yeah. And I think next Wednesday, I think I'm doing it with somebody not named Alexa.
Alexa will not be live. She will be on a work trip and not a conspicuous work trip, a real work trip. So probably Robert. I don't know. We haven't asked you yet, but
he can't say no. So whatever.
Yeah. He literally has to say yes.
Yeah. But yeah, so we'll figure it out. We'll let you know when we're going to be live with the predictions and power rankings. Become patrons, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. And Alexa, you say what you have to say because I just stole your thunder.
Yes, definitely do that. Become a patron at patreon.com/survivorspecialist. I also got my buff from the Vintage Survivor store, and luckily it was the same one. So I now have two Panama buffs, which is two more than anyone ever actually needs. But I'm very happy. I love having a black buff.
I love that. I'm a big fan of that. So that's good.
So thank you.
Thank you, Vintage Survivor Store. And that's what the people who are playing in the power ranking, not the power rankings game, the other game are playing for in the fantasy game. Yeah. So that's exciting stuff. Not for those buffs, although maybe, I don't know. We have no idea. Anyway, we'll see you all some point this weekend. We'll let you know when. Enjoy March Madness. It's on right now. Yeah. And Rutgers is losing by one. So I got to leave all of you so I can go watch that. That's honestly more important. See you all later.
Bye, everyone.